Now, Mark, you recently bought the rights to the old Grand Rapids Brewing Company that was out on 28th Street. You're going to be reopening that soon downtown. What do you have planned for the location? What can folks expect?
Well, what they can't or they shouldn't expect is anything at all that similar to the old location.
Okay.
So the food menu is going to be completely different.
Sure.
And the beer, we're not using any of the same recipes. We have one beer that's going to have the same name, Silver Foam, which is the flagship.
Okay.
So the atmosphere inside the new location, it's right on the corner of Ionia and Fulton, right next to the arena.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got a lot of exposed brick and high ceilings with wood floors. And it's kind of that vintage, historic look. But it's, you know, we're taking the food aspect of it very seriously,
mm-hmm.
the beer aspect very seriously. So
sure.
For the beer, we're going to be Michigan's first all-organic brewery.
And, great.
So all the ingredients will be certified organic. They'll be grown as much as possible by Michigan or Midwest farmers, although some of it's not possible to get because organic ingredients are in pretty short supply in the brewing world.
Mm-hmm.
But we're doing the best that we can to source everything locally. And the food menu, similar kind of concept,
mm-hmm.
All natural to the extent possible, no chemicals, organic when we can.
Okay.
And I'm really very excited about it. I think it's going to be a pretty unique offering in Grand Rapids.
Terrific. And when are you going to open the doors?
Originally it was going to be September. Now it's looking like October.
Okay.
Because every project I've ever done takes longer and costs more than I thought. So this is one of those.
Wow. I'm excited to have it open. It's going to be a great place downtown.
Yeah, thanks.
Now, what are some of the differences folks may notice from the regional styles of beer from Grand Rapids and Portland?
That's a good question. I think maybe that line's blurring more and more.
Okay.
But I think, you know, in Michigan, we've got a good solid base of, you know, we, I don't know if it's to do with the seasons or the harsh winters, but we tend to make some pretty big beers.
Mm-hmm.
And also I think there's the Bell's influence. You know, they're the oldest brewery in Michigan right now, and they're known for, you know, pretty big beers and dark beers and stouts and things like that. And I think, you know, especially here in West Michigan too, you know, our beers tend to be full flavor.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's with hops or malt, but they tend to be on the bigger side. So when you look at it nationally, I think our beers stand out quite a bit. To contrast that with Portland, I mean, they've got such diversity just from the number of breweries out
mm-hmm.
there that you can go from place to place and, you know, get a almost anything you can probably dream of
sure.
out there. So it's maybe a little bit difficult to contrast it, you know, when we were talking, you know, 10 breweries versus, you know, 50 plus out there. It's
mm-hmm.
it's hard maybe to do it apples to apples, but I think, you know, there's similarities enough that anybody that's enjoys beer here is going to enjoy beer there or vice versa.
Sure, sure. And Tom, what do you feel are some of the regional differences?
Well, I think you guys are correct, and the style gap is definitely closing. When I moved out here, everything was a hops arms race. Everyone was just clamoring over each other to put out the most aggressively hopped beer possible. And there's still some remnants of that. Coming from Michigan, where I grew up, you know, on Bell's Amber and Oberon and the Founder stuff, it was absolutely more of a more well-balanced approach there
mm-hmm.
in Michigan. And in Portland, we just wanted to be over the top with the hops. But with all of the competition and the new styles, you know, we've managed to settle down a little bit here. We're putting out a lot more balanced beers, and there's a lot more of us going towards the almost eschewing hops completely,
mm-hmm.
going towards the lambics and, you know, the framboises and creeks. And I don't know if you guys have heard of Cascade Brewing, but Ron's a good friend of mine, and he's doing some amazing stuff with barrel aging and souring. That I see a lot more breweries starting to get on that program too.
I guess bringing that up, what would you say are some of the beer trends that beer enthusiasts should keep an eye out for?
Well, I think the sour beers are definitely, it's one of the most rapidly growing parts of the brewing offerings. But, you know, not just out of sheer demand or curiosity, but I think there's going to be a serious shortage of hops with all these new craft breweries going into the market. Right now, craft brewers are using 60% of all the aroma hops, and the major breweries just focus on the high alpha hops, bittering hops. But as the major breweries, they're disappointed in the sales, because they're losing sales every year while we're gaining like double-digit sales. You know, they're losing sales every year, and it's just a matter of time before they start wanting to put out more craft-like products and then contracting all of these aroma hops. So we could see, with all these new breweries jumping into the market and all these existing breweries in the market, you know, you might see more of a movement towards the sour beers and the fruit beers,
okay,
not just as a matter of want, but as a matter of practicality.
And Jason and Mark, what are your thoughts and feelings on trends people may want to keep an eye out for?
Yeah, I see a big demand. You know, we play around with sour beers and wood-aged beers, and you know, we have a wood-aged beer festival that we have each year. You know, that we've had once so far, but this will be our second one, I guess. So each year being two, but ours is October 6th this year, and you know, we feature all wood-aged beers, whether they're you know, some of them have, you know, the characteristics of whatever wood they came out of. But they could be bourbon aged. They could be have wine characteristics of the wine barrel. And then we do sour some, but not all.
Mm-hmm.
But that's kind of the trend that I see is we're doing those barrel aging. Those beers tend to fly out of our pub as quickly as we can put them on.
Okay.
And so I guess from trend wise, just from the where I sit, that tends to be what people travel to Grand Rapids for, to visit our place. It goes pretty fast.
Sure, sure. And Mark?
I just think as consumers, as I agree wholeheartedly with Tom that the hop shortage is going to be an issue.
Mm-hmm.
It has already been a big issue for a lot of smaller breweries that didn't buy their hop contracts a couple years forward are having problems.
And right.
That's not going to change. But I do think a big trend as consumer palates become more sophisticated around beer and people become you know, more adventurous about it is just a lot more experimentation. So what Jason said about barrel aging and sour, that kind of thing, and a lot of different types of beer, for instance, Groot, which doesn't really have hops, and ciders, things that are kind of on the periphery right now are going to be, I think, more and more in the mainstream as people find what they like. And you've also got a whole different crowd. You know, beer has traditionally been kind of a man's drink. And that's definitely not the case anymore.
Yeah, that's changed considerably.
Yeah, on Facebook, I mean, Hopcat's almost exactly 50-50 in terms of our Facebook fans and the number of comments and things we get on the Facebook page. So I can just look at that and say it's 50-50 pretty much at this time.
Sure.
So